Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Thanks for tuning in, and welcome to the weekend edition of Live the Promise. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel well? Do you feel like you have the energy that a healthy person has? How about your overall outlook? Have you given up hope that you'll have energy, have health, have vitality, and a spring in your step? What if a healthy life were easily within your grasp? Healthy in mind, body, and spirit. It is possible. Well, my guest today is Laura Harris-Smith. She returns to the program to celebrate her book, The Healthy Living Handbook, Simple Everyday Habits for Your Body, Mind, and Spirit. And I will give you a heads up, if you've not ever heard me talk with Laura Harris-Smith, she doesn't mince words, she's passionate, she's powerful, and she's going to say it like it is. So buckle up, baby, because it's going to be a great conversation. But all of us need to make tweaks to our health. All of us need to cooperate with Jesus so that we can flourish. But that means there's times we have to say no to our flesh so we can say yes to our health. And so I really encourage you to tune in, listen in, lean in, and trust that God has some next steps for you. Your next steps may look different than mine, but God does have some next steps for you, and He wants you to flourish. I believe that with all my heart. We'll hear from Laura Harris-Smith in just a moment, but I've got a couple of quick announcements for you. We are so thrilled and so excited and expectant about what God has for us at our upcoming Northwestern Christian Writers Conference, working hard behind the scenes. The actual conference takes place July 13th and 14th. Last year, the conference just lasted over one day. It was on Saturday, right? So we've expanded it this year to start Friday evening. And Liz Curtis Higgs is coming back to be a featured speaker on Friday night. We'll have an abbreviated message for her, really great time of worship, and then a meet and greet out in the foyer outside the auditorium. So this is a chance for you to meet faculty, have some desserts, and just get to know some of these key people in the industry. And then we hit the ground running on Saturday. Sheila Walsh will be our keynote, and we've got our one-on-one appointments. And that's why we're talking about this now, because though we have capacity for a lot of people to join us for this conference, we do have a limited number of one-on-one appointments, and those are going fast. So this is when we want you to sign up. We've made it very affordable for you. It really is an A-level conference in every way. Check it out on the web, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Also want you to know, one more week to have a chance to win the CSB Disciple Study Bible giveaway. All you've got to do is hop on the website and sign up to win. So go to MyFaithRadio.com. Right there, you'll have a chance to sign up to win the Bible. You can sign up every week, but now there's only one week left. So don't wait. If you've not done it yet, get on the website, MyFaithRadio.com. Sign up to win. I hope you get a copy, because nothing like a good study Bible. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Laura Harris-Smith founded Eastgate Creative Christian Fellowship with her husband, Pastor Chris Smith, and she's a director for the Eastgate Creative Arts Conservatory, where, among other things, she mentors young writers all over the world in her online creative writing classes. An actress, playwright, poet, and media dynamo. She's a TV host, was a TV host on the Shop at Home Network. She's also a TV host right now. She's the author of multiple books. With one foot in ministry, one in media, she and her husband have six children and reside in Nashville, Tennessee. Laura, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me again, Susie. I love visiting with you.
Well, we love having you on the show, and you know this since you've been on the show. Tell me this, if there's a verse you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
Well, I tell you what, there's a verse in Jeremiah 33:6, and in it God says, I will bring them health and healing. And I really want to challenge people to consider those as two separate things. You know, I mean, we have the ability to ask God for healing, and He readily is there to ask. He wants to be asked. But many times we ask Him for healings that we got ourselves into these sicknesses. We are the ones that were responsible for getting ourselves into these fixes. So the bigger, more miraculous challenge is to live in divine health, to where we're praying fewer crisis intervention prayers.
Well, Dr. Michael Brown was on a few months ago, and he said God's not obligated to keep us healthy if we keep trashing our bodies. And he, I mean, you couldn't say it any clearer than that, but you know, what we sow is what we grow. And there is a point, you and I have talked plenty about this, that in a society where we're addicted to treating symptoms, I believe healthcare in the future is going to be, we have to get to the root cause of so much of why we're feeling the way we're feeling. And that is mind, body, and spirit, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And we try, for some reason, people try to segregate them. They try to say, oh, well, you know, I'm sick, so I'm going to go take this medication. And then they don't pray, or they don't maybe look at the emotional strife that opened a door to the sickness in their life. So they're only treating one-third of the one. Or sometimes they will get sick and they'll just pray. You know, I'm only going to pray. I don't normally do anything else but pray. And there's certainly times and situations where that's the best thing to do. That's the only thing you can do. But what if we were to treat everything that came to us with a body, mind, and spirit strategy? And that is really how you become whole. It's the only way you can be whole.
Well, I know we don't have time to fully get into your story, but for those who missed our past conversation, just give us a little synopsis of where you're coming from, because you're not only in ministry, you've educated yourself in health and nutrition, and for good reason. The health world was a place of battlefield for you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There has been, I mean, when I look back even at my own personal testimony, I just see how, even though I was the gal who ate her vegetables, you know, my dad was a farmer and my granddad was a farmer. And even though I grew up in a Christian home, and even though I have always been really in touch with my emotions, you know, and trying to allow the Holy Spirit to bring me back to center at the end of a long, stressful day, whether it's of ministry or, you know, with all the children, or that long bio you read, every time I hear that going into an interview, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm exhausted. But even though I feel like I have had the secrets of how to live a healthy spiritual life, how to live a healthy physical life, and how to live a healthy emotional life, if you don't pair those together, and I'm sad to say I did not until my mid-40s, if you don't do that, there is no way that you can be whole. You are going to wind up either sick or heart sick or stressed out, which, as we all know, is a killer. So, yes, it has been my joy to take what I've learned on my personal journey, even, you know, it even saved my life, and just relay that to other people. It's been so wonderful to see them respond.
It's been wonderful to see how God has used you and really expanded your influence. And when you break the book up into three sections and you purposely start on the supernatural, talk about that and explain why you did that.
Yeah, I did that because if I can convince you that you need to believe in the supernatural, that you need to welcome it into your life, then you're going to have help with every other thing that you add, every other, as I call them, healthy living habit. You're going to have the wind of God at your back. He's going to be adding his super to your natural that way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the book is broken up into three sections. One for the spirit. We have a top 10 list. Call them healthy living habits. So top 10 habits for your spirit. And then, of course, as you said, going into the top 10 for our minds, for our emotions, and then a top 10 for our bodies. But it's that spirit section that, honestly, I say some pretty hard things. You're either going to love me or leave me by the end of it. I speak very pastorally to people. My husband and I do pastor a church, Eastgate Creative Christian Fellowship. We pastor in Nashville, and that is what I write to you in that section is an extension of what you would get if you were a member at our church, probably minus the hugs, you know, and everything to buffer it. But I just really believe we're living in a day and age when, you know, the love of many is growing cold, the elect are being deceived. And I wanted to say those things to you about being in church, those things about reading your Bible, those things that perhaps you know already. You do. You know those things that you should be doing, but I want the word to convince you of it so that you don't let those fall to the wayside. And so if you know someone who is away from the Lord, there's some things you really wanted to say to them, perhaps. You see them dangling off the vine, you know, whether it's in their personal walk or in their neglecting assembling with themselves with a church family, those type things. If you have people, even that you're thinking of right now, that you're like, oh, I'm praying for them, they're on my prayer list, I wish they would listen to my counsel, let me say the hard stuff to them. I actually had Marilyn Hickey say this on air a few weeks ago. She said, just let Laura say the hard stuff. Just give the book to them, and then they won't hate her.
Exactly.
Because sometimes we just don't want to hear these things from the ones that we love. So, yeah, those are, I wrote them in a very pastoral, maternal voice, trying to convince people of the importance of staying healthy spiritually.
Mm. Well, let's grab a couple of those of the top 10. We'll get the word out. You talked about we have to get the word out and read it. If we hope not to be deceived in our day, we have to have the word in us.
That's right. That's right. There are, I'm afraid, a growing number of people who they don't know their Bibles. You know, we're becoming an illiterate church. And I actually had a woman who said to me in recent years past, she said, I know how to cast out a demon, but I couldn't tell you where David and Goliath is in Scripture. And I just, the words just pierced through me. Like she wasn't saying she was satisfied with that, but she was so busy doing the work, you know, that she wasn't really familiarizing herself with the Word. And the danger in that, especially in this culture, is if you do not center yourself on God's word, you will not recognize counterfeits, especially if you are a person who, you're a person of prayer or discernment or with a prophetic gifting, and you are not grounded in Scripture, you will very quickly, easily, and unbeknownst to you, venture off into psychic territory. And we cannot allow that kind of a perversion of those discerning gifts, you know? So, in other words, you would be moving more in how you feel about a situation and perhaps, you know, giving words or advice out of that fleshy vein as opposed to really hearing the Spirit of the Lord and knowing what His Word says so that you would never give opposite advice because He's not going to contradict Himself. So it's just important that, yes, we stay in the Word.
Mm. Just a couple more examples, but we hop on to the 10 healthy living habits for our mind and our body. She says, accept no substitutes. There's so often as Christians we put things in the place of God as counterfeit comforts. Take leaps of faith. If we're not risking in our faith, it's not faith. That's just a few examples that you'll find from that first segment of the Healthy Living Handbook, Simple Everyday Habits for Your Body, Mind, and Spirit by Laura Harris-Smith. We've got 5 copies. Email if you want in on the drawing. Live the promise at myfaithradio.com. Put healthy living in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. Now, if you've got a question for Laura, send those directly to me. That's Susie@myfaithradio.com. And we will be back in a minute. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Laura Harris-Smith, who's written another great book. And like I said, it's sailing off the shelves, The Healthy Living Handbook, Simple Everyday Habits for Your Body, Mind, and Spirit. So let's hop to the 10 healthy living habits for your mind. Start with number 1, get it together. Say more.
Well, get it together. Okay, so I address some very practical things in the book, especially as you move into Section 2. Let's just say organization. Some people are so afraid to have anyone over to their house because it's cluttered, it's disorganized. And so I really make just a great argument for how you save time when you're organized. Now, I'm one of those that probably takes it too far. I organize my spice cabinet, but I don't do that just, you know, I don't bring people in my home and open the cabinet and show it off. I do it to save time, and I give a little analogy in there of the amount of time you waste looking for things in your home, and I translate that into the number of years that you do that and how many months you've lost at the end of your life by searching for things that you didn't have put in the right place to begin with. So, yeah, I just talk about you know, getting everything organized, and that includes not just your workspaces, but how you work during your day, during them, and it could be, you know, that you also have to organize your workspaces outside of your home, and I deal with kitchens and bedrooms and closets. Listen, we had a family of eight in a house that it was the same house we moved into when we had two kids, and so we just became adept at finding space where there was none, staying purged, continually looking at items and thinking, I've held on to this too long. Who do I need to give it to? Or do I need to sell it? You know, there's all kinds of options. So I just take you through practical steps to get you organized.
Say a word, if you would, about your bedroom, because here's a tip. You said make your bedroom a sanctuary. In fact, when you were a TV host at the Shop at Home Network, the bedroom segment was like your favorite, because there's so much to making your bedroom a sanctuary. I mean, that's a tangible place to start, because rest, if that doesn't happen, everything else is going to fall apart.
That is exactly right. Yes, I loved those bedding shows on Shop at Home, because really the only way to sell a bedroom set, I mean, the drapes and the, you know, the pillows and all that, people buy them because they're pretty. But if you're selling an actual mattress or a pillow, nobody's going to be impressed with the statistics of, you know, how wide the pillow is or whatever. They want to know. You've got to sell them the concept of sleep. And you've got to make that area of their life that hopefully they're spending a third of their life in that bed if they're getting enough rest. And if you're like me and you really like to work in your bedroom, you know, you may be in there your whole life. It sounds crazy, but you may spend the majority of your day there. And so, yeah, really make your bedroom a place that makes you smile to come into. It's often overlooked because it's the last place we bring people into our home. I don't know about you, Susie, I think we're about the same age. When I was growing up, when we had company over, my mother took everyone on a tour of the house. And this is this room, and this is that room. And I just thought that's what people did, you know, and maybe they did in that generation. Now you shut your bedroom door. You don't want anybody to go in there. He was hiding in corners. And so I just say, you know, treat yourself better than that. Let that be the place where you are going to declutter, especially, you know, all of the things you've got lurking in drawers. It's a great place to hide things, but if you're not organized, it can just spill over and you become enemies with any drawer that you want to open. Make sure that the things that are sitting around in your bedroom, whether it's pictures you're displaying or items on shelves and whatnot, nightstands, make sure it's all things that are full of good memories, moments you enjoyed, the core that really lifts you or has some meaning to you. And that those are going to be the things that invite you into that space and make you feel relaxed there.
Very good. I'm jumping ahead. How about this one? Put on a happy face.
Yeah, well, I often use these little idioms in, you know, the kitchen table of contents, because I really wanted to just intrigue people and kind of invite a little bit of, I wonder what that means. But that's one that everybody knows. You know, put on a happy face means to just smile through it. So there are challenges that come in life, and you may not can choose when they come, but you can determine and decide for yourself how you are going to respond when they do. And a lot of life is just reacting, honestly. And so I outline in this section about, you know, it's over the next two sections. Put on a happy face, and then the one right next door to it is laugh out loud. And I make the argument in these two little healthy living habits that your body experiences physiological changes when you laugh, not when you smile, but when you laugh. So I bounce back and forth here between the power of smiling and laughter on your body, on your mind, and how they both originate with a joyful spirit. So, yeah, that's what those two healthy living habits are about, is making the choice to be a glad person.
Yeah, you know, I remember you and I talked about this as well before, but both having dealt with stage 3 adrenal fatigue, it was interesting to find out that my doctor said avoid discouragement like the plague and laugh as often as you can. He said you'd be so surprised at how hard it is on your system to be discouraged, and you write about that later, but how good it is for your system to have joy and to laugh. Maybe say another word about just what changes in our body when we say the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I'm actually just going to belly laugh at a short video because it's good for me.
Yeah, and, you know, the interesting thing there is that I was told by a doctor, gosh, this was probably 5-6 years ago, that if you experience stress on a daily, I'm just going to be blunt. She said, how much stress do you encounter? And I said, well, I don't know. I'm a happy person. I come home at the end of every day, or I mean, I work from home, but I'm saying at the end of every day, I'm centered and I'm happy and there's lots of stress, but I'm not, I don't feel like I'm struggling over it. And she said, well, what do you do? I said, I'm in ministry. She said, oh, how many other people's stress do you listen to all day? A lot. She said, do you ever get frustrated over people telling you or not doing what you counsel them to do? I said, oh, yeah. I used to see my husband and I sitting in marriage counseling sessions where I know the guy hasn't done what I suggested he do 2 weeks ago, and I'm frustrated on the wife's behalf. And his doctor looked at me and said, Laura, your adrenals do not know the difference between your stress and someone else's stress. If you're feeling it, if you're taking it on, and you are becoming, allowing yourself to feel any emotion at all about it, then your body is going to be drained. You know, your adrenaline is going to be drained. And furthermore, whenever you watch a scary movie, your body, your adrenals, cannot tell the difference between if you jump off the cliff or you're watching the person jump off the cliff. So, yes, not only staying away from discouragement when you're trying to recover, you know, adrenaline, but also staying away from that type of, I mean, over an abundant thriller, you know, movies, those type scenarios that just make you have to have severe adrenaline pumps. And, of course, let's not even go down the path of, you know, slasher movies that you shouldn't be watching anyway. But I'm saying really when you're trying to baby your body and mend your adrenal system and make sure that it's giving you the energy it needs, you don't need to zap it by being constantly around pressuring situations, negative people, and, again, just watching media that stresses you out.
Boy, when I was at the worst part of my adrenal fatigue, it was the presidential election, and you can imagine the conversations,
boy.
And I'm like, doctor's orders, sorry, I can't engage with you. I've got to step out of this conversation. Yeah, it was, definitely. Talking to Laura Harris-Smith, her book is The Healthy Living Handbook, Simple Everyday Habits for Your Body, Mind, and Spirit. We've got 5 copies. Another just fantastic book, and it's selling well right off the get-go here. Email if you'd like in on the drawing. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Hey, if you've got a question for Laura, that one comes to me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a bit. Just makes me happy, so I let it play for a little bit. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to my friend Laura Harris-Smith, who's written another great book titled The Healthy Living Handbook, Simple Everyday Habits for Your Body, Mind, and Spirit. And her first section is 10 Healthy Living Habits for Your Spirit, like let the Spirit move you, get the Word out, which means get out the Word of God and read it, do the honors. She talks about the importance of honoring those in authority, how huge that is for your own life and their lives. Accept no substitutes. Don't let anything get in between you and the Lord, and don't embrace counterfeit comforts that keep you from an intimate walk of faith. Take leaps of faith. Well, now we're walking through 10 healthy living habits for your mind, and we've talked about laughing out loud, about or getting organized, and how much disorganization is stressful to the mind. Talk about this one, de-stress your stress. And you talked about, oh, and I just, here it is. It says, stress wears down your immune systems, resulting in greater risk of sickness and disease. Our generation is treating the disease instead of the cause. Instead of seeking God for resolution to stressors like toxic relationships, financial debt, internal sadness, electronic overstimulation, etc., many turn to pills to help balance the emotional storm inside. So say more, if you would.
Yeah. Well, this section was one of the main, it was one of the main reasons I didn't want to have the physical section in the back of the book, was because this is one that people need most of all. And that is a solution for their stress. It is, I mean, the world is indeed distressed, and, you know, we've got almost 95 million Americans. 95 million Americans are on some sort of psychiatric drug. So, you know, that's, that could be your neighbor, that could be people in your church, who just feel like they need help just to get by mentally. And so, you know, you've got, I mean, think about it, there's only 300 million people in America. So that's about a third of us walking around like this. And, you know, my history for myself is that, you know, I used to have horrible convulsions. So I'm very, very intimately, can you say intimately educated? I understand with compassion and with research different types of neurological drugs, neurotherapeutics, they call them. And this ventures, I mean, it into the fields of, you know, emotional psychiatric help, but also things like migraine, PTSD, yes, seizures, those type of things. So what I have learned just from my own journey, isn't this the way it always happens? We're searching for something to help ourselves, and we're asking God, why aren't you taking it away? And I know you've promised me healing, and you stand back all of a sudden and realize, wow, I've come so far, and God has given me these tools to help better my own life, and maybe I need to share them with someone else. So one of the things that I had discovered was of these neurotherapeutics, the compounds in them are so large, and I'm speaking broadly here, but the compounds that compose these medications are so large that many of them can't pass through the blood-brain barrier. Your body has its own, for your brain, the brain has its own security system, if you will, and it has to, or else what you drink or eat would just seep up into it. So thank goodness it's there, but the problem is that you have to be somebody really special with a special pass to pass through it, you know, and large compound drugs cannot do that. So what I learned through my research was that 98% of all small molecule drugs won't pass through, and 100% of large molecule drugs won't pass through. So what I began doing was experimenting with essential oils, and then one night my son said to me, you know, I put, this is my adult son, he said, I put one of cedarwood oil on my toe at night and it puts me to sleep. And I thought, one oil, one drop? How is that possible? So as I studied this oil, and it was cedarwood oil, I found out that it is composed of a compound, largely, it's like 98%. It's a compound called sesquiterpene or sesquiterpenoids. And they cross the blood-brain barrier. Their molecules are so tiny and therefore aromatic, that's what makes them so aromatic, that they pass right through. So what I did was I decided, again, I'm just trying to help myself here, remember, I decided to research the best essential oils for the brain. Now, there are good essential oils for all types of body parts, but if I was going to have one that crossed the blood-brain barrier and couple it with the fact that the oil itself was one that was nourishing for the brain, I thought this would be a phenomenal, potent, you know, help and assistance for people with who are taking neurotherapeutic drugs but maybe are having a difficult time quieting their minds. So I did. I researched. I put these eight oils together, and Quiet Brain was born. And this was only about 15 months, 18 months ago, something like that. And immediately, Susie, I tell you, the night that I created it, which the Lord gave me the recipe, I can't even bake a cake with a recipe. I mean, this was so obviously Him. And I sat just with worship music one night and created it. And the very first bottle, I took it to my husband, and it, like I said, there was no speaking. I was just praying and worshiping while making this, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord fall. And so I took it to my husband, and I said, let's pray over this and pray that God would transform it into an anointing oil. And Quiet Brain was born that night. I felt like the Lord told me to do a case study, so we got a trial group. And the testimonies just started pouring in, and we've been on the market now for more than a year with incredible results. I try not to make medical claims, but I can just tell you that the testimonies of people who, you know, have been stressed out, and they're telling me my mind is quiet. I mean, right down to it stopping convulsions or stopping migraine, you know, if given in that onset window, and things like this. Insomnia. I've been amazed at how me trying to make something, you know, just for my own situation has now helped so many thousands of people.
Well, so often that is how great things are discovered. I mean, God is the creator. He's creative. And if we're listening and seeking solution, I mean, you read stories of, you know, of exactly that happening and it helping so many people. You also mentioned in the book, Laura, and I want to make sure we say this here, that some have chemical imbalances and medicine is life-transforming and life-saving. For others, it messed them up. And so though it may be an answer for some, it's not an answer across the board. And I just want to make sure we make that point, right?
Yeah. Well, and can I just say this, that those neurotherapeutic drugs saved my life. It's not that I'm anti-medicine at all. It's that we want to make sure that you're taking something that's helping the issue. And so that's why Quiet Brain was created. And now as a result, we've even gone through the patenting process because I've just seen this thing mushrooming to the point to where I'm realizing how much people need help for their minds and for their brains. They can go to quietbrainoil.com if they want to learn more. They can download a free ebook there. They can see all the oils that are in it. But we have decided to, you know, just give God all the glory. He has obviously turned this into an anointing oil. And, yes, the number one thing, though, that people tell me is that their minds are quieted through it and they are able to focus, whether they need to focus on work, you know, so it helps with attention issues and focus issues, or if they need to focus on sleep, because your mind definitely has to know how to focus to be able to rest.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Thank you for that. How about this particular chapter, Never Be Discouraged Again? In fact, you said in that chapter 20 years ago, you made the decision to never be discouraged again, and you had lots of reasons in that particular season to be discouraged. So tell us a bit about that story.
Well, you know, I had to get to the point, Susie, where I realized that if I could not change my circumstances, I could at least control me. When you are down and out and at your lowest level and you feel totally out of control, because let's face it, that's really what it comes down to is, I don't know what's going to happen. I can't control any of this. It is so liberating to realize that you have control over yourself. You can manage you. You can keep your attitude in check. You can make sure you don't hold grudges against God. You can make sure that you know, are not walking in unforgiveness. And this movement happens inside of you that just at the end of it, you wind up looking a lot like your Heavenly Father. But all you knew in the middle of it all was that it was the only thing you had control over. So I had to make a conscious decision that discouragement was sin. That if I could start looking at it as, I mean, literally Scripture says that which is not of faith, that which is not of faith is sin. Well, discouragement is definitely not of faith. And so I had to just tell myself, Laura, this is a colossal waste of time. You know, you're just wanting to mope or be angry or whatever. And instead, if you were to, when that emotion comes, use it as fuel for prayer. Use it to get busy serving others. Do anything except sit there and be discouraged. And the minute you make that switch in your mind and you look at it as, you know, sin, I had to do the same thing with fear. Once you make that switch and decide that those things are sin and that for you they draw you away from God, then you can manage those. And you can, it's like a diet of the mind, you can tell your flesh who's the boss and what it's going to do. And then the other life circumstances that maybe you can't control, or if there are other people involved in those and the wills of other people are involved, God's having to work on them, you know, that is all really complicated. But you should be able to handle you. And so that's just what that chapter means about never be discouraged again. It's just making that mind shift that I am going to trust God, and when the discouragement comes, I'm going to recognize that as fuel for me to move to a next level, whether it's in my faith or in my service or in my attitude.
That's so encouraging, really. One last one before we take our final break, and we'll jump into the physical healthy tips for keeping our bodies healthy, is bury the hatchet. I mean, boy, you are really stepping on toes here. I love it. But really, it's important. So say a word if you want.
Yeah, unforgiveness. I mean, it is such a thief.
Yeah.
I make the point in the beginning of the book, or excuse me, the beginning of this healthy living habit, that Socrates and Cleopatra, I believe it was Adolf Hitler, Pope Clement II, they all had one thing in common, and that was that they died after ingesting poison. And that's really what unforgiveness is. It's like drinking poison and hoping the other guy dies. And so you've got to, boy, this is going to hit. See, this is so hard to say because I'm going to be talking here, and some people are going to hear it, you know, maybe they've been through something horrible, like they've had a loved one murdered, or they've been raped, or they've been abused in some other way. Maybe somebody else is going to hear it, and they just were spoken to rudely by the bag boy at their store or whatever. So there's different levels here of people who are about to hear this advice. But I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you walk around bound up by unforgiveness and grudges, it will show up in your health. You will not live as long. You won't live out the days that God wanted you to live. We all know that although God has a will and that he's sovereign, we can mess both up. We can totally get out of his will. And forgiveness is a beautiful way to make sure that you are staying under a blessable spout. Because, listen, Scripture says that we will be forgiven with the same measure with which we forgive. So if we're walking around doing everything right, we think, you know, for the Lord, and we have some injustice committed against us and therefore think we're right because what they did was clearly wrong, even scripturally, you got to dial that back just a minute and not take all of your wrath out on that person. And here's why. God was not on vacation when he allowed this thing to pass through his hand and happen to you. And because he allowed it to come, he allowed this injustice to be committed against you. It is for the working out of your faith. It might have totally been wrong. It probably was. You may have every right to be angry, to press charges, you know, to write someone off. But you have to go to the Lord and say, well, Lord, why did you allow this to happen? Is there something that I'm supposed to learn? And if you will do that, you are saying so close to, it's like you have your head just resting on the Father's breast, right at his ear, and you're able to hear from him and express those things that you need while filtering them through, okay, Lord, but this is what you've allowed to happen. Why? Show me why. And it just results in you being less angry at people, wanting to get revenge or be vindicated less, you know, because you really trust what the Father is doing, and therefore you can act like him to these people.
Very good, Laura. Thank you. I know that's a tough topic, but it's necessary. It's biblical. It affects us physiologically, emotionally, relationally. And on top of that, we are Christ followers. We follow a risen Savior, and we do what he does, and we do what he says. And that's what he does, right? Talking to Laura Harris-Smith. When we come back, we're going to delve into some healthy habits for keeping our bodies healthy. We're drawing all of this from her new book, The Healthy Living Handbook, Simple Everyday Habits for Your Body, Mind, and Spirit. 5 copies, got to get away, so giveaway, I should say. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put healthy living in the subject line. Please remember that mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. You know, the longer I live, the more I am convinced that God wants us to partner with him in our wholeness and our healing process. You know, he's the God of wonders, the God of miracles, and he wants us to flourish mind, body, and spirit. He wants us to live abundant, abundant lives. We want to be zapped. We want to sit and have him do it all for us. He wants us to partner with him. And talking to Laura Harris-Smith today, title of her book is The Healthy Living Handbook, Simple Everyday Habits for Your Body, Mind, and Spirit. And we've been walking through, we walked a little bit through the spirit section, the mind section. We're going to talk now here about practical tips for healthy bodies. And you've talked about this one in past books when you've been on the show before, but let's tackle it again. Let food be thy medicine. Say more.
Yeah, I think the tide is turning. People are realizing that they not only are what they eat, they are what they eats. And if you're a meat connoisseur, we're seeing more vegetarians and more vegans for the simple reason, you know, in the past, if you were that, it's because you were a food snob. Now, it's because you realize how dangerous it is to consume meat products. You see retailers keeping up with it. The FDA, you know, everybody's beginning to awaken to the concept that there are harmful substances, you know, not just the antibiotics, but you've got steroids and things like this, you know, that they're putting in our meats, and that as a result of that, even our animal byproducts like chicken or eggs or milk, that kind of thing, are in danger. You know, I wonder how much longer we'll be able to enjoy butter. I just wonder about these things as the years roll on, and you've got big business all tangled up with the government, and we see more and more that there are, it seems like, big defenses being made for certain things that we all know are not healthy for us. And, you know, and a good example is back in the day, it was not even thought that cigarette smoke was harmful for you. And so that took a huge cultural tide to turn, and then it also, you know, there was a governmental one, regulation. So it takes several generations, and I think, and I am encouraged, that we are turning that tide, and people are finally realizing that food has got to be their medicine. It has, you've got to start there. And then, interestingly enough, there was this whole generation of health nuts who, in the last 10 years, and I was one of them, was just taking, you know, supplements by the dozens every day, and I'm still a big person. I'm still a big proponent on supplements, especially if you're going through something like an adrenal fatigue and you've got to have nourishment. You can't, I mean, your body is, your organs are all so maxed out. They've each got to be individually nourished. So I get that. But it all starts on your plate. If you are not allowing food to be your medicine, if you're not starting right there and eating colorfully and cleanly, you are undermining the very foundation that God will use to help you walk in divine health. He has color-coded your food. I love to educate my readers on which colors do what for which organ, you know, and it's just miraculous if we will not be so busy and miss it. We will see that God has given us the plants, every seed-bearing plant for food, as he says in Genesis. Some translations even say he's given the received bearing plant to us for meat, you know. And so you just look at these things coupled with the fact that there was no cooking in the Garden of Eden that we know of, and you just see this major argument, some have even turned it into a theology, that we need to, you know, really make sure that our food is an ordained diet, that we include God in the decisions and that we take back our health one forkful at a time. It's our responsibility, not the government, not your doctor, not those wonderful supplements that have been created and ordered by you. It all begins with the power you have, with what you put on your plate and what you put into your body.
Okay. We literally have about 2 minutes before it's time to pray. I'm looking at your list here. I'm wondering, do we tackle get your beauty sleep or live life in the fast lane? You talk about which one you want.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think I did get ahead of myself when I was talking about the oil, so I'm sorry. I think I was supposed to talk about in this section. But, yes, I will go ahead and mention sleep as a springboard from that because you talk about stress. Stress is a lot of what keeps you from being able to sleep at night. But if you're not getting your beauty rest, not only is it going to show up in your face, it's going to show up in your body. And that is how I got myself into the predicament of adrenal fatigue. Is that, you know, I lived this fifth gear, king-size life, and I was getting like 4 to 5 hours sleep a night. I did that for, oh, my gosh, I don't know how many years. And one thing I learned is that if you don't go to sleep, your organs will go to sleep for you. And then you'll be going from doctor to doctor to doctor trying to figure out what's going on. And, well, I'm too young to feel this old. What's happening there? Listen, the reason the enemy comes against our sleep, and I am convinced that he has legions assigned to this on the earth. You see it. There are people who are so riddled with insomnia. And if we can just keep in mind that that is a sacred time, we need to guard it. We need to try to get at least 8 hours sleep every night. And then, you know, I mean, I've even interviewed a sleep study doctor that said he really felt like the sleep doctors could put all the other doctors in the world out of business, because your body will hit that deep restorative sleep if you sleep that long, and it will begin to heal during those hours of the night.
Boy. Well, as we get ready to wrap here, I'm wondering if you pray for that person listening today, thinking to themselves, okay, I'm not as organized or disciplined as you, Laura. Don't know as much as you, but I want to take my next steps, but I feel a little overwhelmed. Would you just pray that God would give them a sense of grace and wisdom for their next steps?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's really important that they've even just tuned in. I don't believe it was by mistake. Oh, Father, I just want to thank you that not only are you allowing this person to be here and be inspired, maybe gain some new hope for their life, but that, God, you're going to give them the grace to implement the change that they need, body, mind, and spirit. Father, it's just an honor to pray for those listening right now, knowing that this is a brand new year and a brand new season for them. You do have a solution for their life so they can be full of energy, full of fervor, and close to you. Lord, great advertising for you down here to have your children whole, body, mind, and spirit. So I thank you for that today in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Laura, thank you for your excellent work and for giving us your time today.
Thank you, Susie.
God bless you. All right. Laura Harris-Smith, title of her book, The Healthy Living Handbook.
He started something good.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of this program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be sure to share this conversation with a friend who would be strengthened by it today. You can do that by clicking the share button under the audio link. Take some time to browse our website as well for new articles and content about growing in your faith in Jesus Christ. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.